We're going to take a deep dive now into how the U.S. has managed its relationship with Turkey. It's part of our look at the tools of power the next president will have in working towards U.S. goals. So today, diplomacy. It can be a slow, frustrating art, especially with allies who cooperate on some issues and disagree sharply on others. Turkey is one of them, vital on challenges like ISIS, Iraq, Syria, and the migrant crisis. NPR's Peter Kenyon has our report, the latest in the NPR project with member stations called A Nation Engaged.
After a violent coup attempt against the Turkish government last month, relations with the U.S. plummeted. Some Turks accused the U.S. of being behind the uprising, and the U.S. watched as a government it once hailed as a democratic model arrested thousands and squashed dissent. But then just last week came signs that Ankara and Washington were getting back on the same page, in both military and diplomatic terms. News footage showed Turkish tanks moving into Syria to fight Islamic State forces. It was sweet music to U.S. officials who have been pushing Turkey to do more against the militants next door. Hours later, Vice President Joe Biden was in Ankara, heaping American praise on Turkey's controversial leader, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and declaring undying friendship.
Let me say it again. You have no greater friend than the United States of America. We've seen that borne out each time we stand together, face down threats to our shared security and our common values.
But few people think this visit solved the problem. It's a good example of how Washington relies on its allies in troubled regions. But as we'll see, those allies have agendas of their own. In Turkey's case, that was clear during the run-up to the 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. Turkey opposed it, worried about violence spilling back over its borders. But the U.S. was determined to go in via Turkey. Turkey's former ambassador to Washington, Faruk Laoğlu, recalls the U.S. arm-twisting.
They really wanted to put American soldiers into Iraq through Turkey, and they didn't want to hear anything else. This is what they wanted, and they wanted it now. They were in a hurry.
Turkey said no, and the troops had to be rerouted through Kuwait. Relations went into the deep freeze. Right about then, America named a new ambassador to Turkey, Eric Edelman, former advisor to Dick Cheney, and to Turks, the embodiment of what they saw as America's my way or the highway approach to Mideast policy. Edelman still remembers how his predecessor greeted him.
He told me, "You're very lucky. You're arriving at the absolute nadir of the U.S.-Turkish relationship. Things can only go up from here." That turned out to be not completely accurate.
Edelman went on to be labeled the worst U.S. ambassador in history by pro-government Turkish columnists. He remembers waiting weeks for meetings with top leaders. But even when the relationship sours, one symbol of Turkish-American cooperation endures. It's deep in southeast Turkey, just 70 miles from the Syrian border. That's a warplane taking off from Incirlik Air Base, used by the U.S. Air Force for decades. Incirlik was built by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the early 1950s, with the Cold War underway. Incirlik Village, adjacent to the base, is where generations of American military families grew up alongside Turks. They shopped in Turkish markets, and to hear local resident Sedat Kayhan tell it, everyone got along fine. He works on the base and thinks back to the 1990s, when Americans were everywhere.
Fakat 2003'te yani gene mesela burada terör vardı.
We took them all the tourist areas. We would ride in cars with big American eagles on them. Everyone knew we were with the Americans, and no one would bother us.
But amid several terror attacks in Turkey last year, Americans were restricted to the base. The fortunes of Incirlik Village, which had begun to decline in 2003, fell further. Many military family members have been sent home. The off-base houses they rented sit empty, and shops that catered to them are boarded up. Two retirees who worked for decades on the base say there's no reason for the Americans to be cut off. There was life, it was fun, people all around, says Mustafa Tutkal. It shouldn't be locked down, adds Jumali Yamur, who thinks the base restrictions are more about politics than terrorism. As to where Turkish-American ties are heading, there are things the U.S. can offer. Support for Turkey's essentially stalled bid to join the EU. The U.S. could help rein in the ambitions of Kurdish factions, longtime Turkish adversaries, in Syria and Iraq. And trade and investment would be welcomed in Turkey's fragile economy. At the same time, Washington is worried by Turkey's democratically elected President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's crackdown on the media, freedom of expression, and civil liberties. Former ambassador to Turkey Eric Edelman thinks the relationship is in for an extended bumpy period. And just like the last crisis when he was in Ankara, it's vital that Turkish politicians don't go too far in whipping up anti-American feelings.
You know, my concern was then when I was there, and I repeatedly told the government, you know, if you guys don't tamp this down a bit, some American is going to get hurt, and then there's really going to be hell to pay.
For its part, Turkey wants the U.S. to extradite an elderly Islamic cleric in Pennsylvania it says orchestrated the failed coup. And if it doesn't do that, or the U.S. pressures Turkey on human rights, it could turn eastward to boost relations with Russia or Iran. But ex-ambassador Faruk Loğlu says, in the end, Turkey remains fundamentally aligned with the West.
No, I think it's not going to be an earthquake type of rupture. This crisis will also be weathered.
As he puts it, this is a diplomatic crisis, so the solution should be more and better diplomacy. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.